What's going on, everybody? This is NBA Therapy, episode 10. We've officially hit double digits. Feels like we just started. We're already at double digits. We're back, and the NBA is in full swing. There's games every day. They're amazing because there's only 22 teams in the bubble, and most of them, if not all of them, are playoff teams and above 500. I just feel like we're being spoiled with good basketball lately, and it feels great to be an NBA fan, honestly. After waiting for so long for it to come back, I'm so happy there's games on, and it's just great. Playoffs are soon. How you feeling?
Doing great. It's basketball's back. My Pacers are going well. Everything's going well in the NBA. Every team that I like is doing well enough.
Couldn't agree more. Let's get right into it because there's just so much going on. I want to talk about the Nets-Wizards game from a few days ago, and I'm watching it, and I was just thinking, it must have taken just so much effort to build all these, I mean, not to like build, but to remodel all these courts in Orlando, because you can see the certain ads on it, and it says like Barclays Center for the Nets home game and whatnot. I just want to applaud the NBA for all the effort it must have taken to just make all this work, and It looks great. Am I wrong? How do you feel when you're watching these games?
It looks great. I mean, I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. Like
when you watch when you watch a Pacers game, do you feel like it's somewhat being played? Like, do you feel like it's kind of the same thing?
Oh yeah, it is like the same thing. Like I really like. It feels like the same thing. Like the way the crowd gets hyped up after a basket.
Right?
Yeah, it does
really
feel
like
the same.
It. And also, like, they play the sound effects of every NBA team that they play. So, during a Nets game, I can always hear sound effects they normally play. And they always play New York rapper beats. So, I'm always, like, and even in the games, I hear beats from Jay-Z, Biggie, Nas, 50 Cent, all them. And it's just, it feels like a Barclays game. It really does. And I love it. But there's a lot going on with the Nets. I mean, after Orlando blew us out in that first game, I just felt, you know, that we're missing most of our team, if not all of them, and we're down a lot of guys. I just wanted to make the playoffs and, you know, get the guys who we have there, like Jared Allen, Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, just get them experience. Because that's the main thing that you want out of your young guys. Everyone's obsessed with young players, but experience, it goes without saying. That's why Toronto's, you know, a contender because of their experience. If there was a bunch
for
of
sure.
rookies,
it's all about experience.
If there was a bunch of rookies doing exactly what Toronto was doing, I feel like a lot of people would be like, it's gimmicky, it won't last, wait to the playoffs. But no one's saying that about Toronto. No one's saying wait to the playoffs, like they're going to fold.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in like playoff and championship DNA. Like,
yeah, you
if
love
you've
this
been
stuff.
There. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
So, I thought, and this is one of my biggest gripes with the NBA. So we're out playing Washington, right? And it's to end the first half. Thomas Bryant, of all people, hits two threes out of nowhere with like 20, 30 seconds left. Just hit two threes, bang, bang. And it's just tied like that, like in the instant. And that's what bothers me about the NBA. But because, and just about basketball in general, and the basketball's always been like this, so it's not really the NBA's fault. I just feel, I mean, this may sound like a hot take, but the three-point line needs to be adjusted. And let me tell you why. Well, just wait a second. So we outplay Washington, right? Basketball just rewards three-point shooting over quality play, and it bothers me so much. For example, in that Washington first half, we got to the rim more, had more bench points, we got to the free throw line more, got out in transition more. We basically did everything better, but Washington shot more threes and made them, and it's tied. That's literally it. Literally remove all variables. It's just Washington hits their threes, and it's like that. And I get, you know, changing the sport of basketball is so radical, but when you turn on a game, what are they doing? They're just shooting threes. There are players who shoot like 80% of their shots from three. Duncan Robinson shoots like 88% of his shots from three. 88%. Like, why? Yeah, like, he's on the court just to shoot threes. And I feel like that's what the game is just relying on it so much. Any team can get hot and beat the Lakers if they just hit their threes.
I mean, look, I get the idea of, like, whatever, like, corner threes, like, being taken away. But I think come down to the big playoff games, like, teams are closing out on the three-point line, and it isn't that much of a shooting battle. It really does come down to who is the best team. Like, the more you get into the playoffs, the more it's who's the best team.
I mean, part of what dictates who the best team is, you know, three-point shooting. Think about it this way. This is what I think they should do. I don't think they should get rid of threes. Obviously not. But I do think they should remove the corner three and cut off the three-point line at, like, the foul line extended. It's just, you can't guard it. You can't guard all spots of the three-point line and the rim. It's just impossible. It really is. And I'm sick of seeing teams just play no defense and get in three-point shooting contests. And that's what it kind of felt like sometimes when we're playing Washington. Because Washington actually, you know, with Bradley Beal, had a great offense. I'm pretty sure they were 11th ranked offense. They might have even been top 10. And it was just because they jacked threes and made a lot of them. And it's just, I like to see quality play and just shooting threes. It gets kind of old. But another thing I found annoying is, I don't know if you've thought this, but they kept zooming in on the virtual fans during the game, and I was like, get this off the screen. I'm trying to watch the basketball. Like, someone's dog would come into the camera, and they'd, like, zoom in on it, and the announcers would, like, make a joke about it. And I was just like, all right, can we watch the game? So, did that happen to you at all, where they would, like, zoom in on fans, and they'd be like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. They didn't really do it during, like, the gameplay, but they did it, and at those times that they did that, I just went through my phone. Like, I wasn't really looking to see that.
Yeah, during the Nets game, they zoomed in on a virtual fan, and then they cut back to the court really quickly, and the ball had already been released and was in the air, and the 3-point shot went in, and I had no idea who made it. For Washington, I was like, "Had they just hit three?" It literally all I saw was a ball in the air and go in. I was like, "Are you serious?" So that bothered me. But honestly, the Nets had a bad game, and it wasn't great. The biggest highlight was Thomas Bryant banging his head on the basketball support for I don't know why, but he just banged his head on it. I think he was happy, like he was hype. It just looked kind of weird, but you know,
show your passion for another. I think the Wizards play harder, like, than most people give them credit for. And I think they're not, like, horrible of a team. Like, I think it's just the fact that every team in this bubble is a playoff team.
Yeah, that's the problem. And that's what's kind of unfair to teams that are... But I feel like... I don't think there's a team I've seen, probably besides Washington, where I'm like, why are they even here? You know, even Phoenix is competing, and we'll get to them. But the only reason the Nets won that game is because Caris LeVert turned it up in the fourth quarter. Had 14 points in the last 6 minutes. Caris LeVert, best player in the Nets. Thank God we got out of there with a win, but it was a tough game.
Yep, I had it written down too. 14 points over the final minutes of the fourth quarter.
And you love that.
And Harris looked really good. And I think,
yes,
I think
you, Joe Harris did look good.
I think you've got to keep Joe Harris in the starting lineup for the Nets next year. Because you need that shooter. And I don't know if they are, but I really hope the Nets keep him in the starting lineup when Kyrie and KD come back.
My dream lineup, I mean, you watch some of these games and they run Joe Harris at the three. I'm totally fine with that. My dream starting lineup, I guess, would be Kyrie and Karis at guard with Joe at the three, KD at the four, and then Jared Allen at the five. And then off the bench, Dinwiddie will play basically just as much as the starters. Bring in Torian Prince, DeAndre, Garrett Temple. We have a lot of guys to throw in the rotation. But, no. Yeah, I felt good about that game. Thank God LeVert got out of it. What game you want to talk about?
I think the next game's Celtics-Blazers, right?
Yeah. Yep, let's get into it.
That was a great game.
Yeah, this game was awesome.
The Celtics are now 13-0 when Jaylen scores 25 or more. So that's really important that he's going to be.
He came
big.
Alive in that fourth quarter.
Yep, he had 16 points in the fourth quarter on 6-for-6 shooting. So he validates why he's a top 25 player.
Also, great bounce back game from Tatum. Had 33 points and 8 assists after that lackluster performance against Milwaukee last week.
Mm-hmm. It was because of the haircut, I think. Or he said it was because of his son was there watching the game. Yeah, I think that's what he said.
Honestly, in my game.
Yeah.
Regardless of his play, I think a lot of people are happy he cut his hair. It just, I didn't understand it when I saw the picture. I was like, why? I just didn't understand the haircut. But you know what? How you look is your business, Jason Tatum. And who am I to tell you? You're Jason Tatum.
Hayward looked good too. I think Gordon Hayward really looked good for the Celtics these past few games.
Agreed, for sure. And another thing that was interesting about this game is that Portland was down by like 20 or 25 at one point, and then Lillard just decided not to miss. Like, honestly, he was unguardable for that little stretch where he was just coming off screens and pulling everything. It was unguardable. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah, Dame had a great game. He had like a few mistakes down the stretch, but I get why he's a top 10 player on most people's list. I think if I redid my list, actually, I might have Lillard top 10. I might bump down Simmons because Simmons might
be
the better. He might be the better player with talent, but Lillard's intangibles and his aggressiveness are just better than Ben Simmons.
In a late playoff game, you can't go for Ben Simmons and be like, give us a bucket. Get us a bucket.
The thing about Lillard is his consistency.
Yeah.
His consistency.
No, I agree.
It kills.
And finally, his big men are back. Nurkic looks awesome. Had 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists in that game. Lillard had 30 points and 19 assists, too. Also, Gary Trent Jr.
I think it was 16 assists. 16 assists, not 19.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I don't know why I wrote 19, but he looked great. And Gary Trent Jr., big hero. They need his defense, especially at guard. When you have Lillard and McCollum in, and the defense can get a little rocky at times. Gary Trent Jr. is a perfect fit for them. Doesn't need the ball, can just catch and shoot. I think
I watched him in I watched him in their first scrimmage when they played the Pacers. And he really looks like, when I watched him, he honestly might have been the fourth best player for the Blazers. Behind Nurkic, McCollum, and Lillard.
Is Anthony Simons even at the bubble? Is he there for Portland?
I don't think he's starting. I don't know where he is.
Because he used to play a lot, and that used to be like their big young guy. But I haven't seen him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I always thought he was Portland's fourth best. I always thought he was going to be Portland's fourth best, but if you're going off right now, it's definitely Gary Trent. And he definitely has that FU mentality that we see in Jaylen. It's awesome. I love when guys think they're the best player on the court. Not that they'll shoot 30 shots, but just that they carry themselves that way. And they're not afraid.
His defense is outstanding. Like, Gary Trent gave every guard problem.
He was hounding Kemba, Tatum, Smart, all of them. It was really fun seeing him and Smart go at it.
Yeah, Kemba looked good too. Like, when he's in the game, he provides a scoring option. I just want to see more from him off the ball, if that's possible, you know?
That's fair. I just, for his size and just how low he gets on his crosses, I find it crazy how he's so effective. Also, side note, the refs almost blew that game. That, backcourt call they called on Tatum.
That was
horrible. That was horrible. They almost blew that one.
I thought it was backcourt at first, and then I watched the replay and I was just like, whoa. Like, I've never seen them get it that wrong.
It's so annoying how we see the replay and then just the refs, like, we won't even get there. They'll just act like nothing happened. And it's no fault to the refs, but like, we'll just never hear about it. Also, that foul they called on Tice when him and Nurk. It was a jump ball, I think, or the ball was in the air. So I think someone tipped it up. And him and Nurk just jumped for it. Tice literally didn't do anything. And because Nurk, like, grabbed his head after because he got hit, they just called a foul.
That's funny.
That was also a missed call. Refs almost blew that one, but Celtics won. Ball don't lie.
Yeah. I was listening to Bill Simmons talk about this game, and he questioned whether Lillard was better than Curry. And I know there's a handful of people who believe that out there in NBA Twitter. I just want to say that might be the most outrageous take I've heard in basketball. I don't ever want to hear that ever again. Yeah.
Look, I'm a huge Curry fan. I'm a huge Dame fan if you listen to the pod. I do think they're probably the two best small guards, right? They're the two best players under 6'3 in the league right now. I think that's fair. Under 6'3.
I'd put Kyle Lowry in that discussion, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Lowry, Russ, and I'm forgetting someone. I know I am. I can't. And CP, that's part of my top five.
Yeah,
probably my top five. And excuse me if I'm forgetting anyone. But what Curry has been able to do the last 5 years, I don't know how someone could say Dame is better than him. I don't know how.
Yeah, I also saw another post on Instagram from a guy who had like 40,000 followers. It was an NBA page. And it was like, if I had to choose one player to lead my team to a championship this year in a fantasy draft, it's Stephen Curry. And everyone in the comments is like, yeah, totally agreed. And I'm pretty sure everyone agreed it's either him or LeBron. But the thing is, we don't aren't we considering him a top two player if he's in that 1-2 range? Like, well, the way we judge players is so irrational that I just think that you got to judge them on how much they give you a chance to win a championship.
I'm with you, because that's the whole reason we lace up our shoes and play, is to win the championship. Like, forget all the other stuff. All that matters is winning. That's all that matters. It's not all you should use to judge a player, because there's a lot of things that go into winning besides just one player's play, but that's why players play. It's to win. It's to win games, and what Curry's been able to do has just been great. I mean, we don't have to entertain this unless Dame goes on a monster run in the playoffs, but, I mean, for everyone saying Dame is better, did you watch the Western Conference Finals last year? I mean, that's his fault. Did you watch the series?
I won't hold it 100% against Dame, because I do believe he played a little bit hurt that series, but either way, it was...
And Curry definitely has better teammates, but it was like every time that the Warriors were down, they would just flip a switch and it like didn't even matter. It was like, why are they on the court with us? And there's a reason why everyone says that Dame and CJ are like, you know, they're not the bad version, but they're the lesser Splash Bros. They're Steph and Clay, but just a little worse.
Exactly. You've got it
like,
right.
Steph's better than Dame, Clay's better than CJ, but, you know, they're better. So let's move on. That's ridiculous. We need to entertain that.
So the next game would be Bucks-Rockets, right?
Yeah, I have Grizzlies-Spurs in there. I just want to talk about it really quickly. So just real quickly, just pointers, because I think these are big matchups, especially Grizzlies-Spurs, because both teams are fighting for that 8 spot. Grizzlies are fighting to keep it. Spurs are fighting to get to the 9 seed, get a play-in, or just get the 8. And so Ja had a great game playmaking. He was getting buckets in the fourth quarter. He was playing really well. I want to say he had like 25-9-9, very close to a triple-double. So in the fourth quarter, Brandon Clark shoots a free throw with less than a minute left, and for some reason they just took it away. Like, he made the free throw, it counted, and they just took it away because they realized they weren't in the bonus. And the next play... The very next play, Rudy Gay forced Ja Morant out of bounds, and Ja got the turnover. And honestly, like, I said this last podcast, and you kind of blame the player, but the refs are rusty. How many times do we see that where they everyone lines up, they give someone a free throw, he shoots it, he makes it, and then before giving them the second free throw, the ref's like, oh no, my bad, they weren't in the bonus, and it just doesn't count, and Brandon Clark had to inbound it. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So the refs are rusty. The refs and players are rusty. You could tell.
Yeah.
In fourth quarter, this happened.
They lost this game. That would have been on the refs big time. I mean, no, they did lose this game, actually. What am I saying?
Yeah, they did. But, because DeRozan, the unsung hero, was getting, again, he was getting huge baskets in the fourth. Hits big game-winning free throws with just about a minute left. Big win for the Spurs over Grizzlies, because not only does it boost them up, but it lowers the Grizzlies, it drops them. So the Spurs are right in the race. And also, I just wanted to say, DeMar DeRozan had a great game, who didn't make your top 40, am I correct?
He did not.
Okay. And that fourth quarter, Wow. He looked like maybe the best player on the floor. Only reason they won that game was because of DeMar DeRozan. So, great game for the Spurs, beating the Grizzlies. But let's get into Rockets Bucks. I have so many thoughts on this one. You go first.
Okay, so Russell Westbrook was amazing this game.
There we go.
And
glad you led with that.
It was amazing. But here's the thing about Westbrook. See, I'm always going to have to say something. Because after this, everyone goes outrageous, and they think Westbrook is such a great player. And thank God last night supported my case when I wrote this down. But while I think Westbrook wins you games as much as any top 5, top 10 player, my problem has been that the next game, he might lose you that game. And as I wrote this, the next day, that's what happened. Russell Westbrook lost him the game.
You told the Portland game, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to bash Westbrook for this game because he was phenomenal. I don't know if he'd crack my top 15 because I think he loses you a lot of games, and I think he's way too inconsistent on a night-to-night basis. Like, I don't know what I'm getting out of him every night.
I just think there's not many guys. I feel like Westbrook is one of the few players in the league where you could put him with the scraps of the league and you might make the playoffs. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say, but... Dame, you could put him on the Warriors, and you don't know if you'd make the finals.
What, with Durant and Steph?
Well, no, I was just going to say the 73-9 Warriors. But,
honestly, if you put him on
a great team, like, I don't know what he would do. Like,
I just think how hard he plays, and there are plays that he makes, whether it's flying in for an offensive rebound or just, you know, going by someone for a layup, that only, I think, guys at that size, I can't think of anyone in the league who can make the plays he makes. At his size, what is he, 6'4", 6'3"?
That's true, but I think he has a cap because of just the way he plays and his shooting.
Also,
so I don't.
One thing, my bad, what were you going to say?
I just can't put him top 10 like other people can put him.
Well, like, no, I had him top 10. I had him 16th, I think, or 15th.
Yeah, I've seen him on top 10s, though.
I still think we have to factor in the playoffs more than the regular season, and that's why he doesn't crack my top 10. But, just how great of a player and his ceiling can be, I think he's a case. One thing that I realized that nobody talks with Houston, and, Steven, we play basketball. Think about, let's say you're, I don't know, 6'9", 6'10", Giannis, and you're going against Houston, a team whose tallest starter is Robert Covington, 6'7". I want to say their average height on that starting five is like 6'5", somewhat. And they don't play a lot of defense. They shoot a lot of threes. So you know that it's not going to be, you know, obviously guys like PJ Tucker and Covington and Harden are very physical, but when you're going by, a lot of times you can just get by them. They're not going to show you a lot of resistance. They'll kind of just reach in behind you. You know what I'm talking about? Where, like, someone will go by you and the player will kind of just not really move his feet and reach in. You see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like if I was a guy like Giannis, Bron, who else is going to play in the playoffs? Jokic, Luka, I would love playing against Houston because you can just do whatever you want to them on offense. They don't play a lot of defense, and they make that clear early. Am I wrong?
I think you're somewhat wrong, actually. I don't think that they're as bad of a team in the paint as, like, I think that what happens is people see Houston as, like, a bunch of just midgets, and they just try to drive, and they force way too many things.
I don't see it that way, but I just see it out. If I'm a center and I'm going against Houston, like I'm getting up for that game. Like I'm gonna make it like my job to pound them in the paint. And I thought Brook Lopez did that well, but it took until the second half. I don't think Brook Lopez got one post touch till the third quarter. I was like, why didn't they do that in the first quarter? Because it was working. Houston was up, I want to say, by 8 at halftime. And then when Milwaukee started doing that, it started to even out. And finally, Houston pulled away at the end. But just, why doesn't Brook Lopez post up every play? Anyone, just whoever P.J. Tucker's not guarding, post up either Brook or Giannis. Like, why don't they do that every play? I don't get that.
I mean, when you've been, that's the thing I've been saying about the Rockets. That they're so unconventional that when you've been playing a certain way against other teams for so long, you stay doing that stuff and you don't switch your game for the Rockets. Like, the Bucks revolve around a three-point line, and all of a sudden it's like they're playing the Rockets after five games with just going lights out from three.
I think it's really great coaches, and I thought Bud really saw that and adjusted well for the second half. Unfortunately, it was a little too late, but I think really great coaches. And again, it's regular season. The Bucks have the first seed locked up. I get all of that. But these are big games for the Rockets. So you know they're going to play hard because they're trying to get that 4 seed or 3 seed because they were at the 6 seed. I want to say they're like the 4 or 5 seed now. But, you know, I just feel like great coaches in a playoff series will go into that early being like, we need to attack this. Because, you know, if you're a 6'7 player in the league, which is the average height in the NBA, You got to make it your job to punish Houston. You're tall. You're as tall as any player on their starting lineup. Pretty much any player they're going to play. Robert Covington is 6'7". Daniel House is 6'6". PJ is 6'5". I want to say James Harden's like 6'5". Russ is 6'3". You need to just dominate that team if you're a big guy. And it just doesn't work for a lot of bigs, which I find crazy. And also, I find myself rooting for Houston in some of these games, even though they're so hated, just because of how short they are. It's kind of like an underdog mentality. I love how hard those guys play. I really admire it.
No, I get you on all of that stuff. I just think that Houston is a strong team. Like, Tucker, Harden, Westbrook, Covington, like, those are strong guys.
No, like, for sure. And I wrote this down. PJ and Robert Covington are, like, two of the, like, what team could PJ Tucker and Robert Covington not fit on? Do you think of any team they wouldn't fit on?
Exactly. And they're so strong, though. Just, like, let's say you are a seven-foot Giannis trying to get to the rim. Like, they can just hedge you. Like, they're pretty strong.
For sure. Like, but there's nothing stopping. And we saw this in that Dallas game. How much did Porzingis get? Like, 39 points? He just shoot over them. He just shot over them every time, and it was unstoppable.
He should have had more.
He passed up a few
opportunities.
I mean, dude scored like 40. But there's nothing stopping a guy who's 7 foot from literally just catching and just, not even just catching, but just shooting over them. Like, they just can't put a hand up as high as you. There's a reason why when we do these top 10, top 15 players lists, most players are 6'7", 6'8". Think about it. All the players under 6'3", there's like, besides Steph and Dame, no one's in the top 10. All the top 10 lists are Davis, Giannis, Braun, Kawhi, George, Jokic, Embiid, all these guys. How tall is Luka? 6'7"?
Yeah.
I get he plays guard, but like, he's taller. The Rockets aren't that tall, and if they make it, just for what they're able to do with their height, I admire it. I love how hard they play and what they're doing. It's great, honestly. I think going into the bubble, you kind of underrated Houston. I had them as one of my sleeper dark horse teams that could mess around and win a few playoff series. I'm still pretty high on Houston, you know, even after their loss last night.
I'm not, because we've seen this before in the regular season, and people are acting like this win against the Bucks is an anomaly. Like, yeah, they'll rip off four straight game wins against playoff teams. Next thing you know, they're losing four straight to a bunch of 8-9 seeds. And it's like, we're back to square one. They're inconsistent. Yeah. And
yeah, they do take games off. I still remember this one game in Charlotte where they lost by like 20, and Harden like literally didn't want to be there. I just don't think that's going to happen in the playoffs. And I think Russ and James are really hungry. Like, really hungry.
I just can't see them. I can't see them maintaining good play for two rounds straight. Like,
You can't see them winning in the first round and then like taking the Lakers or Clippers to like six. See, I can see that happening.
Okay, taking the Lakers or Clippers to six is reasonable.
I mean, how many teams can do that?
To say that
in the West, though.
There are people out there who are saying that Houston could make a surprise run. I can't see it at all. Like,
I think
whatsoever.
I think they're the third best team in the West.
If PJ and Robert Covington
are playing that hard, James was in. Harden had four fouls and was shooting 30% from the field, and Houston was up at half. Harden like made three shots in the first half, and Houston's up, and their whole team revolves around Harden.
Well, I can't give them that yet because I haven't seen what a full healthy Nuggets lineup looks like. We'll get into that later, but yeah.
If they can get healthy. Also, another thing. Yeah, I know we gotta move on, but real quick, Giannis, Defensive Player of the Year. He couldn't guard Russell Westbrook. Honestly, he couldn't. As crazy as it sounds, Russell Westbrook with a full set of steam. Giannis was just backing up so much. So Russ would either get an easy mid-range shot that he hit a few times or just go by him for a layup. It was kind of crazy. Like, Giannis, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. He couldn't guard Russ. He just couldn't. Russ was just faster. He'd get by him.
That's my thing with Giannis. Like, he's a great player. He just hasn't seen it all yet, which is why he's not top two, in my opinion.
Can guard Russ in a full head of steam? I don't think anyone can.
I think if you put LeBron or Kawhi against him, like, they've seen enough.
With Houston spacing, Russ, and also, literally, Russ would do this, or James, he maybe did this like 10 times, where they would get by their man, or their man would be in health. And again, the Bucks have great defending guards. It'd be like Chris Middleton or Wesley Matthews, you know, good defenders on them, and they would just get by them, and your boy Brook Lopez would just help a little bit and get burned on the three-point line every time. They did the same play with Harden where Jeff Green would have it and it'd be a dribble handoff to Harden. And Harden would just score the basket. Brook Lopez would collapse and then he would just kick it to Jeff Green for a wide open three. It happened maybe five times in a row. And look,
I saw that.
We call Brook Lopez is a good defender, but he can't guard that. He's not mobile enough to guard that three-point thing. Especially with Harden and Jeff Green.
Did you see how their defense looked against the Nets without Brook Lopez? Totally different defense. You saw that.
Robin Lopez was a disaster in that game. Disaster. You could tell they missed Brook Lopez. But I'm just saying, it happened every time where Brook Lopez just didn't know what to do. Every time it resulted in an open three. And, you know, I'm just saying.
By the way, are we just calling every guy that I have in my top 40 and you don't? You're just saying that they're my guy now? Like, Brook Lopez isn't my guy. I don't root for him in any way.
Yeah, but he is the Bucks' third best player. And honestly, Brook Lopez is probably more my guy because he was on the Nets for so long. And I love Brook Lopez. I just think there's limitations to his game. There's limitations to everyone's game. And I just think he was a little better last year. I really do. That's it.
Yeah. All right. Let me just say one thing for the Pacers-Wizards. I don't want to get too much into the Pacers because we'll talk about it later. And but TJ Warren is Warren is unstoppable.
Get into your rant about
34 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 4 blocks against the Wizards. I'll talk about him more when we get to the next Pacers game.
He looked incredible.
I mean, TJ Warren is amazing. But let's get into Raptors Heat, right?
Yeah, real quickly, the Bucks. I just wanted to give you their stat lines, and this is why I love Houston. Middleton had 27, 12, and 4. Giannis had 36, 18, and 8. I'm saying rebounds first. And Brook Lopez had 23 and 12. They all shot above 50%, and Houston wins. Harden in foul trouble. That's all I'm saying. Rockets are scary. And no one on the Rockets shot above 50%, except for Daniel House, who shot right at 50. But yeah, get into your TJ Warren.
Well, no, when we talk about the Pacers all Magic game at the end, I'll talk about it. Yeah, but for the Raptors Heat, you know, I saw this thing going around on these NBA forums, and for some reason, people bash the Raptors as a championship contender because they're a poor team against playoff teams.
Yeah,
because they're not.
No, that's a real stat though. They're under 500 against teams that are above 500.
And against playoff teams, what they're like 19 and 15. Like, well, okay, so let's say they are what's their record, like 11 and 14 against teams over 500.
It might be worse. I think it's worse, honestly.
Yeah, but last year they were 21 and 21 versus playoff teams, and 19 and 19, or they were still 500 against teams over 500. Like, it's not to say that they were great against playoff teams last year or anything. Like, the Raptors have they're just, it's a different team in the playoffs, and it's not so much about how they do in the regular season.
I agree. And they're doing great in the regular season.
I'm not a whole believer in this versus playoff teams. Like, I believe that if I pulled up a whole bunch of NBA champions records against playoff teams, I'm pretty sure there'd be a few teams in there that weren't great against teams over 500. So, I mean,
this might be kind of old. But it says so far of their 13 losses, 12 of them are against top 500 teams, and they're not playing most of their games against them. I don't know. I just think it's a little concerning. And also, by the way, the top three teams with the records above 500, teams that are over 500, Lakers are one, number two, Houston Rockets, and number three, Miami Heat. Very interesting. And that's another reason why I love Houston so much, because they play great teams really well.
I'm not a believer in that. I'm just not a believer in that kind of stuff.
You're not a believer in that type of stuff? It's a real stat. Your record against teams that are above 500. That's a real thing.
I think that's so, like, based on, like, how that kind of shows inconsistency to me. Like, you only turn up against, like, playoff teams, and, like, you can't take care of business. Like, a championship team knows how to take care of business when they have to.
Yeah, but a championship team needs to... Would you rather have a team that has proven to beat these playoff teams, or a team that doesn't? I'd rather have a team that can beat anyone but loses to bad teams than a team that is just going to fold against the good teams no matter what. Like, at least Houston has shown they can beat pretty much everyone.
I think regular season, because of all these whatever injuries and stuff, and it's not a 7-game series, I don't look at, like, how do they play against each other in the regular season. Like, how's that going to turn out? Like, me saying that the Pacers beat the Sixers 3-1 in the season series, I'm not saying that the Pacers would just dominate the Sixers in a 7-game series, because I don't believe it's the same thing. That's just my thing, but...
I do think that stat is a real thing, your record against teams that are above 500. It does kind of seem like they're just beating the bad teams. And again, this is kind of hypocritical because they just beat Miami and the Lakers. So, you know, I'm with you on Toronto. Like, they're great, but I'm just saying it really surprised me that they were so low in that category.
I mean, what, Miami's 3 on that list? I don't know about that.
Yeah, they're great. Also, we had mentioned this. De'Aaron Fox had 39 points and 6 assists, career high for him last career high for him. And this was last week. And I thought he played well against, I think, I'm starting to think how it's going so far. I think Sacramento and Washington are the worst teams. And I kind of feel bad for De'Aaron at this point because I just think he could be great in a playoff series. I just want to see him in a playoff series, De'Aaron Fox.
He's not getting there. Not for another.
I want to see him there. I don't want to see him as a number one guy. I want to see him as like a number three guy on a really good team. I think he'd be really interesting if he was on like imagine De'Aaron Fox is on like Denver right now. I think that'd be really interesting.
I could see that.
I think that'd be fun.
Back to this Raptors Heat game.
Yeah.
I really think the Raptors have 5-6 guys who can be the sole reason why they win a game.
I think they have 8.
8 guys?
Yeah.
Who let me count. So let me say
reason? Like the number one?
Yeah, like I think Ibaka can win you a game. I think that Norman Powell can go off win you a game.
Van Vliet, Gasol, against Siakam. Miami.
Yeah, Van Vliet, Lowry. That's like 6 guys.
Lowry, of course. I think Siakam, Van Vliet, Ibaka, Gasol, and who'd you say?
I don't know. I said Norman Powell. Or did you have him?
I think OG, you can't really throw in there because he's just, you know, his game is only like, he's not going to score much. He's just going to give you great defense, be a great role guy. He'll fit well. Powell, the same thing. I feel like I'm missing someone on that team.
Well, Norman Powell is averaging like 18 in the regular season, right?
Norman Powell is like the most, do you see some of the dunks he'll get?
No, he's been good. He was great against Milwaukee last year.
Yeah. No, he was. And he didn't get a lot of burn, but in the minutes he got in the finals, like, he looked fine. He didn't look afraid.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he won against Milwaukee, like, 2 years back for the Raptors. Like, he's a Milwaukee killer, so he's going to come in handy if they play them. Yep. And about this game, Jimmy Butler just disappears in the fourth quarter.
Oh, but, my gosh.
He had 0 points.
Turnovers. 0 points
on 0-for-2 shooting, and those two huge turnovers.
Honestly,
and they look fine without him against the Celtics.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. I'm still holding out faith for him because he's having a career high in assists and rebounds. I think his leadership is amazing this year, and I think it's really rubbed off on those guys. I think he's been great for them, but I'm starting to see a little bit. And I mean, Bam wasn't amazing in this game, but I'm starting to see why you ranked Bam higher than Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
I'm starting to see why you did that. Honestly, I might have ranked Jimmy a little high. I'm still holding out because I think he can rise to the playoffs. But, I mean, look, Miami they're a really interesting team. And they're not, like, reliant on one guy, if that makes sense. They might be reliant on Bam in a little bit, but
I think their lack of a go-to guy in games is why I have them as the 6th best team in the East.
Yeah. Also, about Toronto, can you name one bad defender on that team? It's crazy. Miami shoots the best percentage from 3, and Toronto just ran them off the line in that first half. They shot 5-for-23 from 3s in that first half.
I think Toronto's the best defense in the league.
And if you can run a team off the 3-point line like that, that's the biggest. I mean, we all know three-point shooting is, if you make threes, you have a chance to win any game you're in. And if Toronto can just limit any team they play, especially in the playoffs, that's going to be huge for them. And just little things like Fred VanVleet leads the league in deflections. Like, I love that stat. He leads the league in deflections. Just little things like this with Toronto makes them, you know, it's why they won the championship. Obviously, Kawhi was their best player. He's not there anymore. But you can tell this team has, you know, championship DNA.
Yeah, I think all my contenders, like, the reason I have them as contenders is because they have a set identity. Other than, the Clippers, they're just too good. Like, I don't know if they have an identity, the but they're just that good.
I agree with that. The Clippers are just too good. But the Lakers have an identity. Toronto has an identity. Milwaukee, Boston, you know, all these teams.
Yeah.
In that Miami game, I thought, quickly, I thought Dragic, Kelly Olynyk, and Tyler Herro played very well. Great game for the white guys. Way to represent. Yeah.
Great game.
not a lot of great white American players in the league. Dragic, we can't really count. Is Kelly Olynyk Is Kelly Olynyk from here? Or is he? He probably isn't, honestly.
I think he went to college in the U.S., so I think he's from here.
Tyler Herro definitely is. I want to say he's from, like, Wisconsin.
I think so. Somewhere around that area. Yeah. The Nuggets Thunder game, I just want to talk about the Nuggets really quick.
Huge game for Michael Porter Jr. Yep.
Yeah. 37, he was the most efficient player on the court. 93% true shooting. Jokic had a 30-point triple-double, but that's kind of expected.
Jokic looked amazing.
So, the Nuggets, I think that they might be the sixth best team in the NBA. And it's like the second tier. Because I think that they have Jokic.
You can tell in this game that Jokic really misses Barton, Harris, and Murray.
Yeah, the thing about that team is they have Jokic, and then they have a bunch of B-minus guys, and a lot of them can just explode for 30 on any given night, which is why I kind of like them for the playoffs. They're still missing Jamal Murray, Will Barton, and Gary Harris.
Yeah, those are big losses. Those all three of those guys will probably start, definitely too. Maybe not Gary Harris. He hasn't been great. Honestly, Gary Harris probably won't start. They'll probably start like Torrey Craig. That's who I would start.
Probably. Yeah, and then Gary Harris would come off the bench.
I would start Murray, Barton, Craig, Millsap, and Jokic. That's
what
I would start.
What about Michael Porter Jr.? You think he's too inconsistent? Or he's not ready?
He's still kind of a mess to me. Just...
I get that.
There's a lot of things he doesn't get yet. And he's great. I think he's amazing. I want to say he was ranked number one in high school at one point before that injury. I think he's great, but just there's a lot of things he's got to learn. A lot of things. And he hasn't played a playoff game yet.
Yeah, and I only watched bits and pieces of this game, but why did Luke Gensdorf take 13 shots in this game? And he wasn't making any of them. Like,
I just love how hard he plays. No, Dort is great.
No, he is, yeah, but I, like 13 shots, Dort, that's not like, his role.
Nah, I feel that. Also, one thing I thought, you mentioned this on the last pod, Billy Donovan's coaching. Shea runs into foul trouble, and I don't know what is with these games. It seems like all of them, there's just so many fouls. But it might just be me not seeing regular season basketball in a while. But Billy Donovan puts him with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, even though he's high in fouls, and it pays off. Shea gets really hot. He hits threes. He gets to the rim. And even though the Thunder's offense looks stagnant in the late fourth quarter, and especially in OT, I thought Shea was kind of taking over. And it just kind of paid off because it was Billy Donovan showing that he had the confidence in Shea to put him out there. And I think that's great for young guys. And I think that was a great move by Billy Donovan. And I've been a little critical of him of years, especially when he would lose with Russ and PG. But, I mean, I think he's done a great job with the Thunder this year.
Yep.
Jokic was great in that OT, by the way.
He was. So the next game I have written here is Grizzlies Pelicans.
Same.
There's not that much to say from me other than Zion showed who the better player was. John Moran is still great, but Zion can do things.
I'm getting into a rant. Can I get into a rant about Zion?
All right.
And look, this might be just because my expectations are so high for him, and they still are, obviously. So, I'll give you a play-by-play. 5 minutes into the game, Zion jumps freaking so high, like 20 feet, it seems like, for a rebound. And he comes down, he lands right on his butt. And he lands, like, doesn't land on his feet, he lands on his butt. And he kind of gets up and is like, he kind of just saunters his way back, like getting back on defense. And so they take him out and he just looked sad. He didn't even look mad or frustrated or pissed off. He just looked sad at that point. He was only shooting 2 for 7 at that point. That was really open for the game. Next play. Wait, so they put him back in, right? They put him back in the game. Here's a play. Jaren Jackson, I want to say this was in the second or third quarter. He was still being, I mean, it was just in his, it was probably in his second spurt because they were playing him in like 5 minute spurts. Jaren Jackson blows past him for a dunk. Jaren Jackson, Zion doesn't even run fast, like it seems like, in transition. And he just doesn't seem like he has not a lot of energy. And it just, it doesn't seem like he's playing with the same passion. And not that he doesn't have it, not that he's not hungry to win, hungry to play, but it just doesn't seem like he's playing like the player at Duke. I don't know if it's like he's just as confident. And it's crazy because you look at the stats after this game and you would say he had a great game, but he misses a layup in transition. And from the way he gets back, he just jogs so slowly to get back, kind of just saunters back. And they go to take him out, and he looks at the bench and is, like, shaking his head, like, I need to come out. And it's like, dude, you're in for, like, 4 minutes. You just missed 4 months, and you're not in shape. And I know I'm being extremely critical of him, but that's what I'm going to, like, it's Zion Williamson we're talking about. I expect this guy, he could be the face of the league for the next, like, 7-8 years, and that's what everyone's telling me. You had him already in your top 15. He's a great player, but I have to see it. He just looked so slow. And again, I know he's scoring, but all of his buckets are just that same move where he just bangs in with bigs and gets a layup, or he'll jump for a rebound. I don't see a lot of complexity in his game right now. And I know it's because of the minutes restriction he's on, but I need to see him play more for me to care. And honestly, I'm not even rooting for Memphis. I'm not even rooting for New Orleans to make it. Honestly, I'd rather have Portland or Memphis in that eighth spot. Even San Antonio, just because they're playing harder. It doesn't even seem like New Orleans cares about making it. It seems like all they care about is resting Zion for the rest of eternity. All right, I'm done.
Okay, so I'm not with your Zion slander because I don't think that he doesn't want to play. I think he really wants to play. And I think that he's not going to force anything. He's not the guy to force anything.
So why is he shaking his head telling the coach to take him out after he's put him in for like 4 minutes? Like, I think sweating profusely. And he didn't even want to get back in transition. Like, he literally almost walked back. He just jogged so slowly. And he looks at coach like, I'm done. Take me out. He didn't even try to, like, resist. And I get that. You want to follow what your coach is saying, especially as a rookie. But Zion is so effective, even in the little spurts that he has. I cannot wait to see him playing a full game. And I really want to see him be effective. And it still makes no sense to me how he's not in shape.
I love this.
A normal player.
Shape. I'm completely on a different side from you. This shows me how coachable he is. Like, I'd rather have a guy who's coachable than a guy who's like, I want to be out there. I don't care what you say. I'm going to force shots. I'm going to do this. Whereas he's letting the game to come to him. He understands he's a rookie. He understands his role. And he's not disobeying the coach. He has a great relationship with everyone on the team.
I'm not asking him for disobeying the coaches. I'm asking him to get in shape.
Look, I was just thinking about this right now while you were talking. Zion is Tim Duncan.
Oh my God.
There's no complexity in his game. It's going to just keep working. He's going to listen to coaches. He's a humble guy. He just wants to play basketball. He's not going to say too many things. He's a winning guy.
What do you mean winning? His team's barely 500 with him in the game when he plays. What do you mean winning? Where are you getting this winning from? Actually, they might be just at 500 because they lost those games earlier.
Look at their net rating when he's on the floor.
Bro, you're obsessed with... Bro, he was minus 16 in the game before. Not Memphis, the game before they played. Minus 16. We talk about net rating.
I get it, but he has to get back in the flow of the game. He's a rookie. He's not experienced. We talked about how veteran guys have an advantage in the bubble. Or I don't know if we talked about that, but I believe it. And
look, so this his track record is mostly injuries. I feel like I've never seen him in tip-top shape. Honestly, he was probably in tip-top shape at Duke. You can't tell me he just didn't look way more fierce and intimidating at Duke. Not to say that I expected him to look like this as soon as he got into the NBA, but the fact that, I don't know. I mean, you say he's so mature like Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan wouldn't show up out of shape. 4 months. More than 4 months. He had like 5.5 months. And you're not in shape? What's your excuse for that?
I'm telling you, you're looking at like how intimidating or how much explosive he looks.
No, like, I just said game shape. I just said playing shape.
Look, there's so many guys who look faster in college or whatever, but I think that people think that Zion doesn't look as good as he did in college because of the drop off in college talent to the NBA. And I think that Zion really
I'm not saying that. I'm saying literally just how hard he's playing. Like, when he was playing at Duke, it was just so fierce. It was, like, terrifying watching him. If I was, like, a fan of another college team, I'd be like, oh, my God, like, he's just going to dunk on everyone. He's just going to kill us. And not that he should be dunking on everyone in the NBA. It's just that he's just not playing as fierce and aggressive. And you can give me his stat line all you want. You can give me the net ratings all you want. But when I watch him, he doesn't look like he's in great shape. He still can't guard anyone on the perimeter. And I need to see him play 30-plus minutes a night before I'm saying he's going to run the league. And I have crazy high expectations for Zion. I ranked him higher than Ja, you know, in our top 40. I love Zion for the ceiling he has. And honestly, it was probably kind of unfair for me to rank him over Ja just because he's barely played 20 games. But I understand how great of a talent he's going to be. I guess it's just because my expectations were so high. It's just, I'm just not seeing the urgency with him. And I think a lot of guys, when they come into the league.
I just think a lot of your complaints about him are applicable to Tim Duncan, how people have viewed him. Like, oh, he doesn't want it. Oh, he's so boring. He's doing the same move.
Bro, I don't care if his game is boring. If it works, it works. But at Zion, it just, like, he would shoot threes at Duke. Again, college three-point shooting, I know it's different. But he would drive past people and get to the rim. Obviously, the lobs. But it just seems like he's doing the same move every time in the NBA. And I just watch Zion, and it's like, no, Zion should be doing whatever he wants. And it's not that he's disobeying the coach. But for young guys especially, and especially someone like Zion, who is the cornerstone of that team's franchise, they should be having him throw out whatever moves he wants. Just get comfortable. If I'm Zion's coach, I'm like, do whatever you want. Get comfortable with how you want to play. Because don't do the same move every time. You know, try to do some different things. Don't be one-dimensional. You're a rookie. Do whatever you want. It's a good thing to learn what works for you. And it's great to learn from his mistakes. I just feel like Zion's playing safe. Is that fair?
Is his coach letting him do? His coach is not saying that to him, though. His coach is saying, we need you to play only this many minutes in a game. His coach is not saying, do whatever you want. Go out there. Experiment.
I mean, he played a lot in that fourth quarter. The coach was like, I'm going to play him like 10 minutes. He's going to be out there in that fourth quarter.
And he was great.
Yeah, no, he was good. My concerns with him were mostly how he played in the first three quarters. But, and exactly, he was great because he was playing for a while. I want to see him get out there. You tell me you have no problem at all with New Orleans. I keep saying Memphis. These are games they need to win. And I get they beat the Grizzlies, just barely though. And it's because their roster is way better. You have no problem with them just resting Zion, acting like who cares, whatever. Rookies should be finding what's wrong. Rookies should be making mistakes. That's how you learn. All the greats, they made mistakes. That's how you become a better player. You learn from your mistakes. So
By being more coachable rather than being your own player.
No one's saying Zion's not coachable. This is even a critique of Zion. This is a critique of the coaching or the training staff, whatever. They should give him the freedom to make mistakes. That's what being a rookie's all about. That's what getting into the NBA is all about. All the rookies make mistakes. And the fact that they're telling Zion, play this one way, you're going to be a cog in our machine, is just unfair, because that's what you're saying. He should play his role. That's what you're saying. He shouldn't force anything. I think they should be letting Zion find himself who he is, because Zion doesn't know the basketball player he is. He's barely played in the NBA. He should be trying to find out who he is. So forget Zion. I'm criticizing the coaching staff for this. So this makes me lead to believe that there's an injury they're hiding. That's the only way that he's playing the short amount of minutes. It must be. There has to be an injury that they're not telling us.
I'm not going to draw any assumptions. I just think that Zion knows exactly
so
who
why
he
are they
is.
Playing him? So why are they playing him on? Why are they load managing him?
Wait, first of all, why do you think Zion doesn't know who he is? Just because he only has one move?
Because he's played 20 games in the NBA. No one knows who they're... Bro, no one's a finished product coming into the NBA. That's what I mean. LeBron didn't know who he was when he came to the league.
Most people,
Jordan didn't know who
most
he was.
Basketball players Bird, know Magic, who they are by Duncan. College. Most basketball players know who they are by college. I don't know
what
this is. That name
what?
A guy
what
who's
talking game... about. What guy okay. came into the league a finished product?
LeBron James still has the same mentality when he plays a game of basketball as he did in high school. He's looking
not true.
To find other
not
teammates.
True, because he's actually said that his mentality has changed after the 2008 Olympics. Kobe said the same thing.
You're telling
he
me that
it.
LeBron
has really said this.
All been a pass-first player his whole career.
No, but do you think, did LeBron know how to win a championship as soon as he stepped onto an NBA court? No, that's my point. You want to know how he got that? He learned from his mistakes. He learned how he was being so passive against Dallas. He learned that he needed to take over games. And what'd he do? He took over games and became what I think and you think the greatest player of all time. Zion isn't a finished product yet. I cannot wait to see what he becomes.
Do you think Michael Jordan didn't know who he was in his rookie year? I think that you get better, but like you know the kind of player
yeah,
you are.
That's
like Russell
my
Westbrook
point.
Is
you
the same
better.
Player he was 9 years ago. Like there's a like Steph Curry is still there. Like he was still the
Steph
3-point
Curry's
shooter.
Not
he
the same
is.
Player since he came into the league.
I said Steph Curry.
Yeah, but you act like he hasn't learned so many things like as he grew up in the NBA, like leadership, you know, all the intangibles, what it takes to win. You're acting like Zion's coming
but
in
that's
and
a different,
exactly what to do to win every single game. Like, obviously, he's learning to find himself. And I'm not even criticizing Zion. I'm criticizing the coaching staff. Let Zion do what he was. Like, you're babying him. The Pelicans are babying Zion. And the only reason I would think they're not babying him is if he has a hidden injury. And that's what makes me believe that. Because I think the Pelicans are smarter than that to baby them. And I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. So they're either babying him or there's an injury they're hiding. If he's fine, there's no reason he's on a minutes restriction. No reason.
I don't know. I just think that when you say find himself, that's a totally different thing from learning how to be a championship. Finding yourself
it's not.
Is...
It's the same thing. It's finding how to win.
Find yourself
it's finding
is
how
Marco
you can
Fultz.
Fit in a championship roster.
No, finding yourself is Markelle Fultz. Finding how to be a championship is Kobe Bryant 08.
That
like, there's
is,
a totally different
that
thing.
That's a very drastic. That's a very drastic example, Markelle Fultz. Like that. That's a very. That's a huge anomaly. That's a huge outlier. I'm talking about guys that when you come into the league, you don't know how to win a championship. No one does. And Zion, I think he has the capability to win a championship. I'm not saying he doesn't because I love Zion. I think he's great.
Wait, so you're bashing him for not learning how to learn how
no,
to
No, I just said I'm bashing
champion?
Coaching. I just said I'm bashing the coaching staff. I'm the one who's saying no one knows how to win when they come into the league. I'm not expecting him to win a championship this year.
Okay, good, because Westbrook and Harden still don't know what it takes to be a champion, so let's not go there.
If CP3 doesn't get hurt, did the Rockets win that series?
Let's talk about... All right, you know what? We've been
you
on this for too long. Let's get into...
No,
let's get
no,
in. Let's
stop. Harden doesn't know how to win. Like, you know Harden knows how to win. You know Harden knows how to win. Stop saying he doesn't. Harden knows how to win. You're so anti-Houston. It's crazy. Yo, let's go. Harden and Russ are going to prove you wrong in the playoffs. I'm all in.
They're way too
inconsistent. I don't care about their past playoff blunders. I don't care about Harden struggles. I don't care about Russ. They will be ready, and I will die on this island if I have to. Let's go, Houston. They're the third best team in the West, and if it wasn't for these two LA teams, and I just I could go on and on. I'm getting so passionate, but we got to move on. You're right.
I'm just looking at Harden's games where he shoots under 30% in the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's absurd, the amount of games.
Besides LeBron James, what player has become has come closer to being the Warriors? Huh?
Let me
James Harden. James Harden. That's who. And if CP doesn't get hurt, I think they win that series, and I think they win a championship. Has nothing to do with Harden. CP couldn't stay healthy. Not his fault. Yeah.
All right, let's switch the topic up because we've been on that game on this for too long.
Go to your. I want to hear more TJ Warren stuff. Cause
okay, so I'll talk about the Pacers.
Wait,
the Pacers Magic game.
Quickly, you well, signed talk about the agency, right? Did you sign him or you traded him for cash consideration?
Traded him. Yeah.
For cash consideration.
And we got a second.
That's nuts. Oh my god.
Yeah.
All right, so
we got him and a second. He's averaging 40 points per game in the bubble, 2 steals per game, 2 blocks per game. He's shooting 65, 61, and 92 splits.
Oh, yeah.
And over the 3 games, he has 1 turnover.
He's been insane. And
in the 5 games without Sabonis this year, he's averaging 33 a game. And it's because Sabonis, his absence really opens up, like, Warren's floaters and his driving game.
I know, but just to be fair real quick, the 3 teams you guys have played are the Sixers, Orlando, and Washington, right?
Okay. So,
I get he's doing great.
I can't wait
and
for?
I was high on TJ Warren.
Our game versus Houston, our last 3 games, because it goes Warren versus Butler, then Houston, and then Warren versus Butler again. So,
yeah, I want to see you guys go against the Miami, a good defending team. I think they play good defense. They have a lot of good defending players, excuse me. But, no, I love TJ Warren. It's just I'm excited to see the Pacers play against a really good team. Not that Philly isn't, but – and speaking of Philly, did you watch that 76ers-Spurs game?
No, I didn't, but I watched the highlights.
You missed out. And, honestly – also, I didn't realize this, but the Spurs are missing like 4 starters at the bubble. They don't have Bryn Forbes. They don't have Trey Lyles. They don't have LaMarcus Aldridge. They're missing so many great players. And what are they doing? They're competing. They're winning. So, again, I don't know how DeRozan misses your list and a guy like Duncan Robinson does. By the way, the reason your boy Ben Simmons fouled out was because DeRozan forced it on him. So, Simmons fouls out, right? He had foul trouble the whole game. Simmons didn't have a great game. DeRozan slowed down the break. Simmons right into him. Done. 6 foul early in the fourth quarter. Then DeRozan makes both his free throws for the lead with about 2 minutes left. Then he gets 2 huge baskets with about a minute left. And then Shake Milton, of all people, hits the game-winning 3. But the hunger that DeRozan was playing with and just how he was dictating what happens in the fourth quarter against great defenders like Embiid, Josh Richardson, Thibault, all these guys, and it didn't matter. DeRozan was getting to his spot and scoring. How do you not have him on your list? Honestly, how?
You
messed that up. Admit you messed that up. He should have been on your list.
No.
Who'd you have 40?
I can't put...
Who was 40?
I had Patrick Beverley.
Oh, my God.
If I changed it now, I would have TJ Warren in my top 40 over him. And TJ Warren is most definitely a better player than DeMar DeRozan.
They're very similar players.
No, I don't think so.
I think DeRozan's a better playmaker. No, actually, I don't think. I know he's a better playmaker.
Warren right now is the far better shooter.
Warren is the better shooter. I think that the Spurs rely on DeRozan more than the Pacers have all year on Warren, so it's hard to judge. I think Warren's job is easier. That's a toss-up to me. I'd have to see. But, you know, I'm not going to say one's better than the other.
Warren's a better defender, too. He's better on both ends.
You love fourth-quarter players, and DeRozan's been great in every fourth quarter I've watched, and you just don't care.
Again,
you're just like, he hasn't impact winning. When he's the only reason they beat the Grizzlies, he's the only reason. I mean, they would have beat Philly if Shake Milton doesn't hit that 3. Great bounce back game for him. Also, Embiid and Tobias Harris had great games. And DeRozan was kind of just carrying it. I mean, he got help from guys like Rudy Gay and Derek White, but you can tell Philly's the better team. And he's just keeping them in these games. And San Antonio's still in the race for the 8th seed. They're 10 right now, above the Pelicans. Portland's 9, who I think is going to be in the playoffs. I think Portland Lakers are going to be very interesting. And, yeah, I don't think you give DeMar enough credit. He's great in the fourth quarter, and that's something you love.
I just have to see it. I have to see him really do it on a consistent basis. He hasn't been doing it all year. I'm not going to say it after three games. I'm sorry.
He's shooting like 54% from field, 53% from field. He's being efficient.
How many threes is he taking? How many threes is he taking?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. No one can guard him, and he stays efficient.
It's not efficient if he's taking no threes.
It's 53%. He's no better
than a center shooting 50.
What do you mean a center? He's like 6'5". He's not like getting touches. And like
there's a reason.
Hook shots.
There's a reason why you really do not like the concept of true shooting percentage, and I have no idea why.
It's not that I don't like it. It's not that I don't like it. It's just I hate how it's your end all be all. Like I hate how DeRozan can't shoot. Can Ben Simmons shoot? And you ranked him top 10.
But like, his true shooting percentage is still good.
Ben Simmons. At least DeRozan's good. Like, is these DeRozan's like a good free throw shooter? Ben Simmons isn't even a good free throw shooter.
Let me look up Ben Simmons' true shooting percentage versus DeRozan's. I don't even know where to look this up.
I bet Ben Simmons is higher, and Ben Simmons is the better player. But the fact that DeRozan doesn't make your top 40, especially with all these injured players, come on. He's good. He's a good NBA player.
He's just not there. He's not.
The Sixers are a great defending team, and it didn't matter. He took over.
Are we ignoring what Popovich does for that team? Like,
Oh my gosh! So he gets no credit.
It's not that he gets no credit, but
like you love Jason Tatum, but are we gonna say? And I love him too, but are we gonna say Brad Stevens? That's why.
Like, neither of us had De'Aaron Fox in the top 40. Now you put De'Aaron Fox on that Spurs team, I think they're a better team. Over DeMar DeRozan. Look, top 40 is a very exclusive list.
If you take out DeMar DeRozan right now and you put Duncan Robinson on that team, do you think they're better?
I think Duncan Robinson gives you a better
chance. There we go.
I care. Who gives you the best chance to win a meaningful game of basketball?
Has Duncan Robinson been the best player on an Eastern Conference Finals team? No.
It's not about being the best player on a team. It's never been about being the best player. You must really not like Robert Horry then.
I didn't even like watch Robert Horry, so I can't really say much. But it is so hard to be a number one option when most of the defensive attention is drawn towards you. And I just feel like you totally discount that. You just look at the stats and say, oh, Duncan Robinson is better in his role, so he's better. Yeah, Duncan Robinson's role is much easier. That adds to it. It doesn't take away from his role, but DeMar's is clearly harder. That's all I'm saying. It's so much easier to be the fourth best guy on a team than the number one option. And it's not like DeMar DeRozan is like forcing himself the number one option. It's not like he's being like bad teammate. I'm going to shoot all these shots and not be efficient. That's not what's happening. That's not what I see. He's also playmaking.
I can make the case that defenses give more attention to Duncan Robinson than DeMar DeRozan.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Because if whenever Duncan Robinson shoots 88% of his shots from three. If it's not that defense, forget about him. DeMar DeRozan.
But you still have guys chasing him on the three-point line, and you still have guys hedging him because of how good of a three-point shooter he is.
Can Duncan Robinson get his own shot like DeMar? No, not even close.
You really like this? It's never been about isolation. Get me a bucket.
Yes,
like
yes,
that's not the only way basketball's played.
You know who shines? The guys who can get their own shot. That's what matters in the playoffs. Bucket getters. That's why everyone was saying Kawhi was the best player because he can get his shot no matter what. Curry does the same thing. Curry can.
Where do you have Klay Thompson ranked? Where do you have Klay Thompson ranked in the NBA?
I mean, when healthy, I put him. When we did our All-NBA teams, I put him second team All-NBA.
Exactly. Now, can he create his own shot as a number one guy?
Yeah, he can. I've seen it happen. This whole myth that – this is the thing with Klay. Klay is actually overqualified for his role. Klay's actually better. Klay can actually, like, he can actually dribble. It's just he doesn't because he's smart about it because he has Curry and whatnot. Duncan Robinson, like, cannot get his own shot.
He can dribble, too. It's just that that's his role, too. I don't think you watch the Heat. He's capable.
No, I do. There's a big difference between Klay Thompson and Duncan Robinson. A huge difference, actually.
Okay, take away all the other aspects of Klay's game and give me just his shooting, and you're telling me he still isn't a top 20 player? It's because of how good of a shooter he is. When you're so dominant at one thing, it makes defenses change. That's why Duncan Robinson is so good.
Another huge thing with me about Klay is not only his shooting, but his defense. He's one of the best two-way players in the league when healthy. Duncan Robinson is nowhere near the defender Klay is.
He isn't, but when we're talking about shooting in today's NBA, that's really big, especially when you got a guy like Duncan Robinson, who's probably the best true shooting percentage player other than a center right now. And
it might be Bertans or George Hill, actually. But he's up there.
It's like saying Kyle Korver why was Kyle Korver an all-star for averaging 12 points per game? Anyone who watched the Hawks knows Kyle Korver should have been an all-star that year. They didn't just choose him out of thin air because he was on a 61 team. Like, he was one of the top two most impactful players on that team. And you can't just say Kyle Korver can't get me a bucket. Kyle Korver can't do this. He can't do that, but his shooting is the reason why they won 60 games.
I just think that if someone's game is as one-dimensional as Duncan Robinson, I'm taking a guy like DeRozan over him. Just because I know if DeRozan's shot isn't falling, I know he can be effective. Duncan Robinson, I'm sorry I haven't seen it that. I'm sorry I haven't.
No, that's so, I hate this myth that if you're one-dimensional, like, it's a fault to you. Like,
it's not like a myth. That, it's true.
No, that's like...
Name a one-dimensional player who's great. Look, and this is my whole thing with one-dimensional. There's so few outliers with one-dimensional, which is why I don't rely on it. There's like three players in NBA history who have won championships being one-dimensional. It's not a good thing to rely on.
What are you talking about one-dimensional? One-dimensional, like, offensively?
No, your whole game. Your entire game. You on a basketball court.
I could... Look, I'm not such a believer in the one-dimensional thing because I think that if you're so good at one thing, you do that one thing. You don't have to have all these other facets of your game. That's what makes Zion so good.
In the playoffs?
That's what makes Shaq so good, even though he couldn't shoot free throws. He couldn't shoot. Shaq couldn't shoot. Or Shaq couldn't do anything.
First of all, Shaq played in a league... Oh, wait, hold up. Shaq played in a league that favored what his style. You know what I mean?
And Duncan Robinson doesn't. Okay.
And also, Shaq and Shaq. This is my whole point. You're comparing Duncan Robinson to Shaq. That's my whole point.
That's not my point.
Use Shaq as him being dominant as a one-dimensional player to help your argument with Duncan Robinson.
You asked me if anyone has been successful as a one-dimensional player in the NBA. I said Shaq.
And I said there's so few outliers. And also, Shaq, like... We're acting like Shaq couldn't do anything. We're acting like Shaq wasn't a great playmaker. We're acting like Shaq wasn't great on defense. We're acting like Shaq couldn't, you know, let Kobe do his thing and get out the way and realize. We're acting like Shaq couldn't run the pick and roll. We're acting like Shaq, all he did was catch the ball in the post and do a hook shot. We're acting like that's all he did. Duncan Robinson, all he does, literally all he does is shoot threes.
And you're like, you got to realize why. I think you've got to realize why the NBA has turned into a shooting league. Because when you're a good shooter, when you're out on the three-point line, not only is it spacing out the defense, not only can you get your shot at a more efficient rate, is that it opens up so many other guys. And say you don't even get
DeMar
any assists, it's practically
a better field goal percentage than Robinson. You just said more efficient.
Practically,
DeMar DeRozan's more efficient, actually, from the field.
Give me true shooting percentage. Give me true shooting percentage.
God. You think you're going to tell that to, like, the scoreboard, the people doing the score? Like, you're so obsessed with these stupid stats. Like, and not stupid stats, but, like, true shooting and plus-minus is, like, your end-all, be-all. If a guy has a bad true shooting, that doesn't mean he's a bad player. That's what you have to understand.
Look,
so many different ways to be effective in the game than just shooting threes.
If I shoot 10 shots, I'm 5 for 10 on 2-pointers, or if I shoot 10 shots, I'm 10 3-pointers, I'm 4 for 10 on 3-pointers. The 3-pointers are worth more. It's how bad, it's math, bro. Like, there's a reason why we've gone to shooting, because it's more efficient, it opens up more, and you play make without the ball. Like, that's the art of shooting, that you create so many opportunities by moving.
Okay, so Duncan Robinson wins in the shooting aspect. Who's the better playmaker? Who's the better at making others better? DeMar DeRozan.
You don't just go down the line and look at every little aspect of the game.
It's any guy who can't shoot, like Ben Simmons. Like, he can play make, and that's why I like him so high. You can't just the fact that a guy can shoot well it can't be the end all be all, and that's your end all be all with Duncan Robinson. That's my problem.
It's not that he shoots well. He shoots as he's probably the best shooter in the bubble.
Joe Harris.
Like, no, don't even say that. In game, Joe he Harris. Is the best shooter in the bubble. You're biased, and
Joe Harris.
When you're so good at one thing, it's like it opens up so much. Can we talk? Did you watch that Celtics Heat game last night?
I did.
Duncan Robinson, are you telling me he did not win that game for them?
I thought Bam was their best player.
I thought Duncan Robinson won that game for them. Someone can be their best player,
Who do you think was the best player for them? I thought it was Bam Adebayo. Who'd you think? Duncan Robinson?
I think Bam is the better player, but I think
That's not what I asked. Who was better last night, Bam or Duncan?
Bam.
Okay. Bam won them that game.
Robinson, when Bam won them that game. Is on the floor. It's a totally different thing. Bam. I know. You have to see how the defense reacts to Duncan Robinson. Like, for Bam, when you watch Bam, he gets to do so much more when Duncan's on the court, because he has all this room to do all this stuff. There's a reason why Duncan Robinson, night to night, has the best plus minus on the Heat. It doesn't matter which rotation he's out there with.
So, you're saying that basically if a guy can shoot threes really well, and literally it doesn't matter about the rest of his game, he's most likely going to be in your top 40.
Look, I'm not saying Steph Curry isn't good at other assets of the game, facets of the game.
Because he definitely is.
But there's a reason why he changed the game, and it's solely his shooting. It wasn't anything else. It was because of how good of a shooter he was. Because when you're so good at one thing, it opens up everything, because you have to focus on that. Like Zion, he's so good in the paint, it opens up so much for the Pelicans. Like
Bam, but Bam is great in the paint, and that opens up so much for guess who? Duncan Robinson. But you don't ignore that. You say Duncan Robinson can space the floor and shoot threes, so he's great.
No,
like, that, the argument you just used for Zion, I use the same one for Bam.
I don't know. Bam just doesn't up the floor for Duncan Robinson. Shooters don't get opened up by inside guys, because shooters are guarded by guys pressed up and chasing them around the floor.
Wait, we just went over this. Whenever Harden and Russell Westbrook went to the rim and drove, guess whose man would gravitate towards them? Jeff Green. And guess who would get a wide open three? Jeff Green. We just went over this, that when you have pressure in the paint, guys will move towards you, especially if you're a guy like Russell Harden.
No, that's not my thing. My thing is, what I'm saying is, they will not help off Duncan Robinson, which is why that there's no help defense. That's a layup for Bam, or that's a layup for Jimmy, because they can't help off Duncan Robinson. Because he's that good of a shooter. That's what I mean by
with a full head of steam, I've seen a lot of plays where they'll help off Duncan Robinson. Look, and
they kick it to the corner and he nails the three to make the dagger for them last night. That's what happens. Duncan Robinson is that guy. It's like you can't just go down and look at each asset of the game this guy's better at this.
Where did you rank Duncan Robinson?
I think I had him 37.
Oh my God. That's laughable. That's actually laughable.
You cannot just go down and look at this guy's better at this, this guy's better at this. Because in that case, Steph Curry wouldn't be a top 8 player, because it's not like that. You don't just
I don't do that because I have Steph Curry as one of the 5 best players in the game healthy. I mean, he's not healthy right now, but healthy, I'm sure he'll be right up there. And you know how I rank Clay so high, but one big thing is it's not only making others better, but like just you're so enamored with Duncan Robinson, but you act like Miami doesn't have so many other great three-point shooters. You act like Miami doesn't have so many other great players. Like, do you think Duncan Robinson is, where would you rank him in Miami's Heat, the Miami's best players?
Third? Yeah.
Okay. Would you say that Duncan Robinson is better than, I don't know, Goran Dragic, who actually has been great recently?
No. Yeah, he is better than Goran Dragic, yeah.
Really?
Are you serious? Okay, you so see, give me your reasoning.
This is
give
my problem. Reasoning. You always go to Duncan Robinson. If I had a team of five Duncan Robinsons, you know what that team's doing? Not a lot. Because a lot of those guys can't play great defense. Like, look, it's easy to spot up and shoot three-pointers, but there has to be a guy with the ball in his hands who can create these open threes, who can get to the rim and kick it, who can, you know, find three-point shooters when they're open. That's why I have LeBron so high. It is so hard to have the ball and create opportunities for your teammates, and Duncan Robinson can't do that. Duncan Robinson does his role well, but without Jimmy Butler, without Goran Dragic, without Bam Adebayo, without all these guys who can play make for others and get them open shots, this whole argument changes. But
you're breaking down Duncan Robinson like he's a top five player. Like, that's what I said. Like, no, I don't look at whether he's driving, kicking. I look at when he's on the floor, how much does he give you a chance to win? And he gives you a top 40 chance to win because of how much he does for you on offense, just being a great three-point shooter out there.
It's just you. And look, like, we're talking about Duncan Robinson so much, and we got to wrap up soon. I didn't even get to my Nets rant. We'll do it next time. But look, I love Duncan Robinson. He's a great player, but there are many things that go into being great, and there's only one or two, I mean, all right, Shaq is one-dimensional, and, I mean, who else in NBA history was one-dimensional?
Many that people will say Steph Curry is, but no, he's but not. He's, I don't know.
Not.
I don't think he is.
Many, don't use many people as your argument, because he's not one-dimensional. Like, I don't look, care what the majority look, says look. About him. There are so many players that what takes
Klay Thompson is one-dimensional. I'm sorry. He is one-dimensional. That's
no,
not an argument.
No, he's not. He's one of the best two-way players in the league. It's not one-dimensional.
You're talking on defense, too? I'm just talking on offense, because we've only been talking offense.
All right, yeah, I'm talking about defense. Duncan Robinson isn't a great defender. I brought that up multiple times.
If Duncan Robinson was a good defender, he would be as good as Clay. He would be.
Yeah, but he's not. And this is my point with Duncan Robinson, or just anybody who's not a great defender. What's the point if you score 30, if you let your man get 40? What's the point?
He doesn't. You've seen the defensive rating.
I've seen him. Their crunch time lineup, when it's him, Crowder, Bam, Jimmy, and plug in whoever at the one. I don't know. Dragic, none. I can make an argument he's the worst defender for them on the court. And, Steven.
But for some reason.
Wait, stop. Real quick. That was our whole argument with Lou Williams. How he couldn't stay on the floor in crunch time because he was the Clippers' worst defender. Like, it matters if I can see Duncan Robinson defend like Clay, then this changes our whole argument. But I need to see him defend at just an average NBA pace. I really don't think he's there
he
yet.
He does defend at an average NBA. Are you just looking at him and seeing a white guy? He has the length and size to defend, and he does defend adequately. Yes, he does.
I don't think so. I don't. I have to see it.
Duncan
Robinson had the
highest plus minus on the floor last night.
Yep. Keep going plus minus.
And he always does. Yep, there's a reason like why.
Like, he's the only player on the court. Bro, Kawhi's plus minus was plus +2 on that Spurs team. Like, are you going to say he only made them 2 points better? No. Stop using this argument. for everything.
That's not all right. So look, there's a difference with Kawhi because Kawhi's the Clippers bench is so strong, and
no, this there's a the whole Spurs. Thing with the. This was on the Spurs.
On the Spurs, his, what are you talking?
His plus or minus was plus two.
Their bench was strong on the Spurs too.
Says so does that take away from Kawhi that his plus minus is plus two?
Look, there's a reason why. All I'm saying is that there's a reason why this guy, Duncan Robinson, when he's on the floor, they always start winning. There's a reason. This isn't just one game that I'm looking at. Like, he has the net rating of Butler and Adebayo combined. That's not an anomaly. There's a reason why. When you shoot at the best true shooting percentage by any non-center, probably all time.
All right, so... Let's go with your plus minus stats. You know who ranks third all time in box plus minus? Chris Paul. You know who ranks sixth? James Harden. You know who ranks eighth? John Stockton. You know who ranks above Steph Curry? Kevin Durant.
I don't know if box plus minus is the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Is it?
It's literally plus minus.
It says it's a metric that estimates a basketball player's contribution on that player, blah, 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 versus the average production of another player. That's not plus minus. Plus minus is just when you're on the court versus when you're off the court.
Yeah, but box plus minus is like the more analytical version is what it seems like. That's what it's telling me.
Look, we're not making a disparity. I'm not making a disparity between the top players of all time. This is for number 37. Yeah, I have him 37.
You can't use this logic and then not use it with other people. You have to come with the same energy. It has to be the same.
You know what? Even if I never knew about plus minus, Duncan Robinson would still be in my top 40 because he does so much. Because I've watched so many Heat games where
you just said does so much. His shot is on. Besides 3-point shooting, what else does he do besides 3-point shooting?
That's so much. 3-point shooting is why the game has gone to 3-point shooting. There's a reason why the game is a 3-point shooting league now, because it does so much for a team. Not only can you shoot and be so efficient by taking the most effective shot on the floor.
All right. Yeah, keep going. Is Miami the third best team in the East? Where does Miami rank in the East right now? Fourth best?
Yeah.
And they're the best 3-point shooting percentage team, and you have them fourth in the East.
Why are they the best 3-point shooting percentage team? Because of Duncan Robinson.
I know, but I know exactly. I'm saying they're a great 3-point shooting team, but if you want to use this logic that 3-point shooting is so much, wouldn't you think they're in your top three in the East? And where would you rank them in the West? Would you say they're better than the LA teams? No. Would you say they're better than Denver? No. You said Denver's the sixth best
team. Because Duncan Robinson is 37, and I have a handful of those guys that are above 37. Yeah, I didn't say he was better than Nikola Jokic. I didn't say he was better than Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. I said
using this logic of 3-point percentage shooting, but you think Miami, like, do you think Miami will even get to the second round?
Depends who they play.
Exactly. So all this 3-point shooting, and
what do you
it's
mean
like
exactly?
You just used 3-point shooting percentage as your argument. You just used it. Miami's the best at it, and you have them maybe getting out of the first round. You just contradicted yourself.
Because they don't do it at such a high rate. Because they don't do it at the high rate that other teams do.
They're the best in the league at it. What are you talking about? They don't do it at a high rate.
It's never been about percentage. It's never been about percentage. Because when you take more, then your percentage goes down. Duncan Robinson's the only volume 3-point shooter on that team. Jimmy Butler's taking like one a game. Bane Adebayo's taking none. It's all Duncan Robinson. That's the reason why the percentage is so high.
Tyler Herro shoots a lot. Kendrick Nunn shoots a lot. Like, they have a lot of guys who shoot threes. Don't worry. Jay Crowder, Goran Dragic.
Why has shooting been the main reason that the league has changed? It's not just because that it's smarter to take a shot. It's because that you can put five guys on the perimeter and you can make open lanes.
Let me name the top five teams in 3-point attempts, and you tell me which teams have a chance at the title, all right? Top five, okay? Is that fair? Because now you want to go 3-point attempts. Houston, number one. Do they have a chance at the championship? No, you just bagged on them.
They're not as good as Duncan Robinson.
Dallas, are they going to have the first round? No. Minnesota, they're not even in the bubble. They're not even in the bubble. Milwaukee, one. And then us, Brooklyn.
Look, you also switched up this argument.
I give you the top five. No, I'm using every argument. I did 3-point percentage. Miami's not favorite.
No.
I did 3-point attempts.
No, because look.
I'm doing whatever.
My original case was that when you're so good at one thing, it doesn't matter how good you are at other things, because you don't need to be that good at other things. That's the whole point with Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson doesn't need to work on his dribbling. He doesn't need to work on his other stuff, because all he has is shooting, and that is so impactful already. So I don't care how good of a whatever else other aspects of offense. He can work on his defense. Yes, he can. And he has the tools to be a good
work.
Yes, but on offense, he has no reason to be a good dribbler. There is no point in him being a good dribbler when you are that good of a shooter.
I think that if he was able to dribble, he'd be a better player, obviously. And
Klay Thompson isn't consistently working on his dunking and stuff like that. Because why does he need to be a good dunker? He's not working on his whatever like passing. He doesn't need to be a good passer. He has his role, and it's impactful for the work.
See, I think Klay Thompson is a good passer. I think he's an amazing defender. I think he can shoot threes. I think he can actually play with the ball. Like, Klay Thompson's a way different player than Duncan Robinson.
2015 Klay Thompson was great for that Warriors team. Duncan Robinson is
2015 Klay Thompson was an all-star.
Duncan Robinson, if he had the opportunities, could be an all-star.
Okay.
He's that good of a three-point shooter.
We'll see in the playoffs.
We will. I don't want to root for Duncan Robinson. You're making me root for him because I don't want to root for him.
You know where the Clippers rank in 3-point attempts? 16. You know the Lakers rank? 22nd. And they're the two favorites right now.
Look, when you're so good at one thing, it changes.
You just brought up 3-point attempts. All right, we've gone on far too much. We got to wrap this up. Any closing remarks, quickly?
You need to look up what true shooting percentage is, and everyone else
I know what it is. It just isn't my end all be all.
You think that is more? You think field goal percentage is a better metric than true shooting percentage?
I think, bro, you're acting like I don't love true shooting. Jarrett Allen is top three in true shooting. Like, I always get this stat pointed out to me, and I love it. I love Jarrett Allen, great player for the Nets. But you know who's fifth in true shooting? Hassan Whiteside. How do you feel about him? Oh, yeah, you hate him. You know who's top 10? Damian Lillard. You know who's 8th? James Harden. You know who's 7th? Jonas Valanciunas. You know who's 4th? John Collins.
I exclude centers because the way they get their basket hurts the other facets of offense.
Doesn't count.
No, because the way the centers get their points hurts the other parts of the game on offense, whereas a shooter doesn't.
Oh, look at this. You know who's 23rd in the league in true shooting? DeMar DeRozan.
Yes, 23rd. But that hurts. That's at the cost of the... See, that's what I said about shooting, because shooting isn't just how effective...
Wait,
like how
you just
effective,
brought true shooting, and now you're like, wait, no, doesn't count with him.
No, I'm saying it's more... All right, if you compare it with field goal percentage, but I'm not saying that's the end-all be-all either. But if it is definitely more effective than field goal percentage.
I just, like, look, if Duncan Robinson's shot isn't falling, I've said this so many times. I don't even have to get into it. I just think you're insane for putting him in your top 40.
I'm not.
No, that's actually crazy. And Patrick Beverley at 40.
I really believe when you're so good at one thing, it's that valuable to a team. When you go down and look at NBA champions, so it's it's like the best players in the world, and then it's specialists. It's all specialists.
Yeah, if it wasn't for those best players in the world, where would those specialists be? Nowhere near the title. At least DeMar DeRozan got to
other way around too. The other way around too. The other way around too. Where would?
No, but that's not fair because DeMar DeRozan is qualified enough that you want that the Spurs have him as his number one guy. I'm sure he'd be fine as a number three guy. I'm sure it'd be so much easier for him. But
who's better? Who's better as your number three guy, DeMar DeRozan or Duncan Robinson?
We've never seen DeMar DeRozan as a number three guy, so you can't make that argument.
Because he can't.
No, it's because he's the best or second best player on every team he's been on. No, that's why. But Duncan Robinson isn't that, so that's why he's the third best player. You're acting like DeMar DeRozan is like a scrub. Whatever. We've gone way too far on this. We gotta wrap this up.
All right. Yeah, we can wrap it up.
That's all for me. I missed out on my Nets rant. I'll get into it next podcast. We got a lot in store for you. Can't wait for the playoffs. Can't wait for just the NBA season to keep going. Got a lot of great games today. I want to say the Lakers play the Thunder today. Lots of other games. And yeah, that's all for me. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Bye.